Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things socks, pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
Kawhi Leonard has made his decision. Southern California native headed back home here to play for the Los Angeles Clippers. Not only that, the Clippers have also made a deal to acquire Paul George from the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari heading to Oklahoma City along with a boatload of draft picks. Bring in Stephen A. Smith now. Steve, what was your reaction?
Stunned to say the least. The Paul George part is what's stunning. And you have two stars on your team with the Los Angeles Clippers, with the depth that they have, with the coaching staff that they have, with the resources that they have, etc. I can't knock anybody right now who would think that the Clippers might very well be above the Lakers in the pecking order. It's one thing to see Kawhi end up a Clipper. It's another thing to see the Clippers pull off getting him with Paul George. That is a shocker.
Couple earthquakes last night, one a literal variety in Southern California, believe it or not, 7.1 on the Richter scale. Meanwhile, a metaphorical one as well, as the Clippers have acquired Kawhi Leonard via free agency. Then they turn around and send five first-round picks and a couple of roster players to OKC for Paul George.
A lot of people wrong on this one.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday... I'm reading very avidly with tremendous amount of interest. My son Bryson as well couldn't wait to find out what Kawhi was doing. And early on Friday morning, Chris Carter has a show on FS1. You ever seen that show? It goes up against the Get Up show.
No.
On ESPN.
No. Any good?
It's a guy named Nick Wright who's on... Mad Dog Sports Radio, satellite radio at night. So I tune in once in a while. Chris Carter, apparently, for whatever reason, I mean, he's a NBA wide receiver, former NBA wide receiver. He has some sort of in with Kawhi, and he claimed yesterday morning that Kawhi would make his decision by Friday. Then he retracted that statement later on in the afternoon. No decision will be made by Kawhi. He needs several more days to figure out where he's going to go.
I believe there's going to be an announcement today.
I was just going to ask that. Really?
I do believe there's going to be an announcement today.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, he wasn't wrong, but he actually walked back that statement later on. And then there were people claiming that the Clippers were completely out of it. That it came down to Toronto and the Lakers. Well, that didn't happen as well. And so Kawhi is okay. No, he's not OKC bound. Bunch of former Clippers are. A bunch of draft picks are OKC bound from the Clippers. But, yeah, and the current odds, apparently you heard Stephen A. talking about, you'd have to give the Clippers maybe the odds-on favorite designation. I think the Lakers, according to Vegas, Larry, were 3-2 favorites as of yesterday. But now that Kawhi is in L.A. as well with Paul George, what are the odds there, Eamon?
7-2 I'm looking at right now.
Oh, 7-2. Okay. 7-2, they're the odd. They're not the favorite still, though.
They are the favorite.
They are?
According to...
What are the Lakers?
Let's see. VegasInsider.com is okay. What I'm looking at. Clippers 7-2, Lakers 4-1. Bucks 6-1, and then the Warriors and Sixers are tied at 15-1.
Do I dare ask where our
Celtics are?
Our local team is?
Might take me a second to find that, but probably very okay. Far down the list.
Yeah, okay. All right, so all that is happening.
The other part that you're missing about the Celtics, and yes. I might be wrong on this, so I'm just expressing my own feelings. I don't think people like them that much now. Right now. You'll probably get over it by the time the season starts, but right now, I think people are angry, and they don't like them.
Right. You know, I think you made a point about a month or so ago when we were, as we invariably do, periodically anyway, we periodically check in and we kind of rank, you know, the four teams in town. And you said that the Celtics were dead last. And I disagree with you. But now that I think about it, you were correct, sir, that they really are. I think their ignominious exit in the second round, the way they did it after winning the first five games and then just not even putting up an effort against Milwaukee. Milwaukee won those four games by an average of 16 points. It wasn't like they fought the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't think
I
don't think people like them right now.
Right.
That's why you're not getting that much response to this whole thing.
But
if they equate the Clippers situation to anything to do with basketball right now, I don't think people like them that much.
And also, you made a point I didn't follow up on in the first hour, I want to discuss a little bit right now. Not only is the bloom off the proverbial rose as far as the entire team is, you have to think that people's opinion of Danny has definitely
taken a drop.
Yeah.
I mean, you have mixed emotions because you feel bad for him because he had the heart attack. So, I mean, nobody's going to jump all over him and rip him or anything. But if it weren't for that, no, I don't think I think the magic's gone.
Yeah. By the way, just in, after extensive, exhaustive research, Eamon did find that the...
Let me get 16th.
Nope. They're actually 25-1, which puts them in the golden circle of eight teams. Because I heard this morning on NBA radio that there are eight teams who have a legitimate shot now. And according to Vegas, at 25-1, the Celtics would be in the eighth seed for one of those teams that have a shot at a championship.
So we mentioned the top five. The other two kind of between the Celtics who are in eighth are the Rockets and the Jazz at 20-1.
Okay, what about the Sixers and Bucks? They got to be pretty high up there.
Yeah, Bucks are 6-1 in third place, Warriors and Rockets are 15-1.
All right, very good. Thank you, sir. So that's where it stands, all of this erupting last night.
But that's what it is, though. That's where it is. People aren't that wild about the Celtics right now.
Well, last year there was nothing but enthusiasm and optimism.
You're right.
You know? And this was going to be like knife through melted butter, ladies and gentlemen. The East was preordained, and the way the Celtics have played over the last few years against the Golden State Warriors in the regular season, and even the spanking they gave the Warriors in Oakland in the regular season this year, people were, you know.
I don't think people like to be. You can be a lot of things, and you can make mistakes and this and that, and I think people can get over that. I don't think they, and I'm talking about me feeling this way, you feel like a sucker. You feel kind of like the way the season ended and stuff, you feel like you were dumped on. And for that reason, I'm not happy right now about any of it.
And let's face it, we've talked about this a million times. The bar has been raised so high with all the other success and the Bruins having unexpected success this year. Now, obviously, people are very disappointed with their performance in that Game 7 against the Blues. But the Bruins getting all that success that wasn't expected with Toronto and other teams, Toronto, they beat Toronto, but with Tampa Bay going down and some of the other team powerhouses in the NHL taking early exits, the Bruins went all the way to Game 7, so people were high on the Bruins. Red Sox won a championship. Patriots won another championship. And here are the Celtics with seemingly all of this talent, 10 deep. And what was everybody saying about the Celtics last year? The deepest team in the NBA. They can play 10 players. There are legitimately 10 players who make a contribution to the Celtics, and they go down without a bang, but just a whimper.
It was awful.
Yeah.
I was so angry. And that is, nothing has been done to take away any of that anger.
And to
lose Horford?
Right. And all the hosannas that have been directed to Danny over the last few years. Oh, the master manipulator, traitor Danny. He's fleecing this team. He's fleecing that one. The Brooklyn Nets, they took Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett off our hands. And look at all these draft picks. And they didn't manifest themselves into anything.
I thought the draft was terrible.
Well, you know, but picking at 14th and 22nd.
Well, I see. Yeah, again. I can't blame them for where they ended up picking with the lottery balls and the like. But it's just the whole package. Right. And worst of all, it's not like you had a really good open press conference afterwards with Danny and Brad in the media. It's like, so you got no real closing to it.
And then when Wick says we're, quote, retooling, then you take...
At one point, I heard Wick say that, you know, he didn't blame the fans that they didn't like the team right now. Right. He probably didn't like it either.
No, and I heard Dickerson and Patrick Gilroy yesterday filling in very admirably, I might add, for OMG. And Gilroy, who filled in for you, as a matter of fact, when you were out for a while, he made the same point. I think you have to reassess Danny Ainge. He is esteemed very highly in NBA circles, no question about that. He's esteemed in this town. But what does he have to show for it in nearly 20 years? This is Gilroy's point, and I totally agree. And we had this same discussion when you were out a couple months ago. You know, one championship, and he's been here since 02, 03. That's, what, 17 seasons.
The problem is you don't like to scream too loud for fear of who the hell they'd bring in. Let's say they got rid of Danny.
Yep.
Well, now you're fearful who they're going to bring in.
Are you that fearful about it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I don't want to go back to those days with Leon... Who was it? Sidney Wicks and Curtis Rowe and all that
crap.
Yeah,
but Red was the GM. I'd like to have Red back.
I'd love to have Red back.
Yeah.
I just don't... Maybe it'll change when the season starts, but right now, while everybody else is having fun signing these big-name players and the like, I feel like we're just standing on the sidelines.
Yeah. The
I don't feel good about it at all.
They just seem like classic also-rans at this point, and I guess 25-1, that's not so bad. They're in that golden circle of eight teams that have a shot. And in looking at the East...
I mean, which team would you rather have right now, the Celtics or Philadelphia?
Probably Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But they have, when they've met each other recently in postseason
play. I'm talking now, baby.
Yeah, I think Al, I think adding insult to injury, people were obviously, you couldn't find very many people around here. And we didn't,
I mean, I hate losing Reddick.
Right.
If I'm Philly.
Philly, yeah.
Because I liked his shooting.
Yeah, and you lost Jimmy Butler, who's going to Miami. So you lost two offensive players, so they have some points to have to make up. Tobias Wolf is going to continue to make contributions. Simmons, I guess, can only get better offensively. But we've had that argument for years about Rondo, that you are who you are. You're not suddenly...
you don't need Rondo to be that much of a prolific scorer.
Well, if he stays with L.A., but who knows where he's going.
Well, I'm saying if he does...
Yeah.
You already got your people who can fill the hole.
Right. But Simmons is, if you're playing defense on Simmons, you just sag into the middle and play semi-zone.
Let him beat you from the outside, sure. I mean,
he's not going to beat you at all. He's going to distribute. Now, the problem with the Celtics is that Kemba, like Kyrie, isn't a true point guard. And he's going to want his points. I think he's really, because he's 6'1", they say he's a point guard because of his height, but do you really think of Kemba Walker as a distributor? No. He's a guy that wants to get his points. I mean, he isn't really a true point guard.
Well, somebody's
got
to be able to get the ball or distribute the ball.
Yeah, but so Rozier was unhappy. He's gone.
He's gone.
Right, that's good. Kyrie, obviously unhappy. He's gone. The problem is, adding the insult to injury, is Horford going to an Eastern Conference rival. All right, 617-779-7937. We're going to take a break. Got some calls on the line. People, believe it or not, yes, we want to talk about the Celtics and the NBA. That's good. A little Yankee Red Sox talk as well. Whatever's on your mind, 617-779-7937. Just warming up the seat for James and Hart coming up on Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI, coming up. Another edition. Talk about earthquakes. Did you hear that first half hour of James and Hart a couple weeks ago?
It's gone downhill since then.
I think they sought counseling or mediation or something.
Far more polite to
one another. They're way too civil and polite. I wish they would start going after
each
other.
We started out that way. We were vicious and mean and rude.
Well, I was just doing that because I thought that was what you're supposed to do in talk radio.
Yeah.
I was just faking it for the first few years. The real me has emerged, which is
boring,
polite, accessible, accommodating, acquiescent.
I hear a lot of people don't like it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're going to go to our guy over there in Mattapan. John, what's on your mind on this fine Saturday morning?
Most definitely fine Saturday, gentlemen. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
Everybody's having a great holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, we like it that way.
What's going on?
Well, you know, guys, I'm thinking to myself, you know, how much effort does it take to forget that we have a coach that went, you know, 16 games under 500, and 5 years later he's in Game 7 in the Eastern Conference with no stars, right? I think that's like...
See,
I can't understand how people lose so much context.
Well, all I'm looking for is some sort of explanation. That's all. Just talk it through. Let's talk it through together and come on one of these shows. Or they got that NBC and whatever the name of that show is on at night with my girl Trini.
NBC
and stuff.
Sports Boston.
Yeah, they got a three or four hour block in there. Bring them in there. And discuss it. That's all.
So are you saying that you're disturbed, John, that Brad Stevens isn't getting the kudos that he once did after a failed run against Milwaukee in the playoffs this year?
Well, I think if you're mindful of the overall situation in terms of how much power does the player have, and you know, and we all understand we're dealing with a guy who's he's elite. You know, he's at the top of the pyramid as far as players. He was next to LeBron. He saw LeBron doing things like, you know, walking onto the floor and just forgetting essentially what the coaches are trying to say in a sense and just sort of being a general on the floor.
Yep.
I mean, to try to grab the controls, you know, from Coach Stevens and you know, do it in such a public and blatant way. And guys, I feel strongly, really, it's simple. He quit because he had 150 million reasons to. Right, but we're the ones that have to listen to all this trash and nonsense about the Celtics have no hope. As far as I'm concerned, guys, we're right back we were 2 years ago before he came to town.
But so, see,
here's the difference. Good insight. I don't know how you feel about this, Larry, but this is the difference. That 2 years ago, LeBron was on his way out, and we didn't expect that, you know, we didn't know that Kawhi was going to end up in Toronto. We didn't know that Giannis was going to get infinitely, demonstrably better. So you may be back to where you were 2 years ago, right before Hayward came in, but there are a lot of other talented teams now that it's not going to be this cakewalk that everybody envisioned when LeBron left Cleveland for the Lakers last year. There are a lot of good teams. It's mostly in the West, but there are teams. And in 2 years, you got Brooklyn's going to be a major player with KD coming back from his injury. I think this is going to be a nice team, the Celtics. And I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air to have Kemba replacing Kyrie. But I think you said it best, Larry. They're not legitimate contenders for an NBA title at this point.
But I understand all that. But I don't. One of the things I don't like about Belichick is the fact that when an explanation is needed, he's not there to give you one. He's not going to give you one.
Right.
And Stevens and stuff, they end up being the same way. They don't tell you anything.
Well, if you're looking for coaches and general managers,
I
want to
know why this team was so close before, and then all of a sudden the wagon broke down.
It's pretty obvious because Kyrie was a guy that is gonna wreck any team if he tries to be a leader. He couldn't be LeBron. He used LeBron as his model. We know how that worked out. It was a bad situation from the get-go. Kyrie's going to be much better off running with KD in Brooklyn, where he doesn't have to be the number one guy. He's a great beta. He's just not an alpha dog. John and Franklin, you're next on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hey, John.
Hi, Larry and Craig. I enjoy listening to you. You're definitely one of my favorite teams on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
I would like to challenge the idea about the Celtics' problems were all about attitude. Now, it was obvious that Kyrie Irving was not Kevin Garnett as far as leadership. He just didn't have those skills. That was obvious early on. That didn't make him a horrible person. He's an amazing offensive basketball player, but he's not much of a leader. We also knew that Gordon Hayward, we knew before the season even started, that Gordon Hayward may not be the Gordon Hayward of old because of the Paul George situation. It took Paul George an entire year to get back, and I'm optimistic that Gordon Hayward, that's one of the reasons I'm interested in this coming season. I'm a big-time fan because I think Gordon Hayward is going to be a whole lot better. Now, they had a weakness. They were not a good rebounding team.
No.
They got hammered by Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee owned the paint. Toronto would have hammered them off the boards.
Yep.
I don't think they're the quickest team either. And the three teams, Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, you know, they talk about the West, but those were three really good teams who really improved themselves. Toronto went out and got Gasol, Leonard, and Danny Green. And Philadelphia picked up Butler and Harris. Those are good teams. And I agree with Brad Stevens when he said, we get beat by better teams. I think the Celtics, I just think their talent, they were not as good as people thought they were. And finally, I want to say the young players. And I love the young players. I'm going to watch the Summer League game. Listen to it.
They're playing Philadelphia today.
Yeah, but the young players were not on the cusp of being NBA all-stars. They were maybe on the cusp of being average NBA starters. I like them, don't get me wrong, but they were overrated.
Yeah.
They had their lunch handed to them on many, many, many nights.
Yep, no question about it. And that was very frustrating for Kyrie, and as you pointed out.
But you're also talking about a team that you're watching, and they win the first game, and then they just totally give up. I don't know. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Giannis was saying he talked to his brother and he said, man, you got to play much harder.
Right.
And Giannis led his team and they played a lot tougher. Now, granted, Kyrie, a bad night for Kyrie was an exception, but that was a bad series for Kyrie. I can't really explain that.
He lost his touch. He lost his touch. He was clanging some really bad shots in those final four games. John, what's your feeling? You seem to be a pretty insightful Celtic observer. What's your feeling about Cantor and what he can add to the team?
He's definitely going to help on the rebounding big time.
Yep.
And the Celtics, how many offensive rebounds do the Celtics typically get?
Not many.
I think they're last in the league. If they're not last in the league, they're pretty close to it.
Yeah, and he's definitely going to get some. Going to get some offensive rebounds. So he's going to be something that they really haven't had, and somebody who could score down low. Now I know he's not supposed to be that good on the defensive end, but they also say he's very good in the locker room as well. So. I'm optimistic. Look, I don't think they're going to win the NBA championship this year, but I think they are going to be a fun team to follow, in my opinion.
All right, John.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is the expectations are going to be ratcheted down. They're not going to be as highfalutin as they were last year. Everybody thought they're just going, you know, just going to take a stroll to the finals.
I mean, they really had the fans behind them for a while last year.
Well, because they had all this talent, and Kyrie puts on a show. I mean, I saw Kyrie play twice live last year in the regular season and in the playoffs, and he was brilliant. When you see him live and see the moves he makes, it's impossible to guard him. Mm-hmm. But you have all this other extracurricular stuff. And it all came back to bite him. 617-779-7937. He was live in London for the Yankee onslaught Stephen Waltham, you're next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Good morning, gentlemen. What a spectacle it was. I would say that.
It definitely was a spectacle. And if I guess oh you're God. A Yankee fan, it truly was a jolly good show.
Did they finish the first inning yet?
Unbelievable.
12 you know, runs so funny, in the Larry. First inning in the first game. What did the Yankees score? 9 runs in the second game? In the seventh inning?
Something like that. It's so funny. You know, in the States, they shut off beer sales after 7 innings or 2.5 hours or whatever it is.
Yep.
That game on Saturday, which was like, I don't know, 5.5 hours, served alcohol to the very end. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Hey, it's London. Shocked by that. You don't go to London without drinking beer, believe me.
How much was a beer? $7?
$7?
Whatever. No,
no, seriously. Well, how much was it? How much was it?
Yeah. No, it was actually reasonable. I mean, I think it was like £8, £7.
Which is about $9, so,
yeah. Yeah. So, but the one thing is, so I'd never been to London. I made a
point
to
go
there early, do all the sightseeing, et cetera. And every pub that I surveyed during the week, I would ask the question. I said, so are you guys excited about MLB coming to London? Asked it about, I don't know, 100 times. None of the locals knew this was going on. It was very poorly promoted by MLB locally. I was shocked by that, you know. The NFL has a stranglehold on Europe, on London, on coming over there 3 times a year, whatever they do. And NBA is over there as well. But I don't see this happening. I mean, they played the game in essentially an open-air Tropicana prop dome because there's all those quirky little catwalks there. And you know, rumor has it they altered the balls to, you know, make it more of an exciting game, which they really didn't need to do because the fences were already in anyway. But and then my seats were over on the first base side, so I'm watching Chavis for both games, and he looked like he was having a hard time over there, like navigating where the stands were, the ball was. It was, you know what? Next year they bring the Cubs and the Cardinals there, and God bless. It's not if this is MLB's way of trying to get a foothold in Europe, in London, whatever, poor, very poor.
Never mind all that. Any potential brides over there?
No. there was plenty, Larry, but let's just say they need some dental work.
Oh, come on. Falling back on the oldest stereotype in the book, they got bad teeth in England. That was pretty bad, Steve. At least you're able to...
No, the people, actually, you know what, though? The people over there were very nice.
There's nothing bad. I've been there twice, including last summer, and even though I was a family man the second time around and just hanging out with my future bride the first time, the pub scene in London is like no other, believe me, as you well know.
Warm beer.
Oh, spectacular. I mean, it's so funny. I was one night, I'm walking towards a pub, and I'm seeing all these people. I'm thinking, wow, there's a line. People are waiting in line to get in there. Oh, no, they're just out in the street having beer. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Wow.
This is fantastic.
If you're a beer drinker like Steve and I,
how are the hotels?
Very nice. I stayed right in Mayfair, was there for 8 nights. Great. You know, I did like the hop on, hop off bus tours, went to all the sites, went to the London Eye, which is essentially a very large, I don't know if you went on it, Craig.
Yes, but, I did. We stayed in a hotel right around the corner from it, a block away. So,
yeah. And I tell you what was the best thing I saw, and I hope you went to it, Craig, was the Winston Churchill War Room.
By far. It is the highlight of any trip to London. And it's a history lesson for the kids, and just great to see those that bunker that Winston Churchill spent most of World War II in. It is fascinating. Just a couple blocks away from Parliament. Absolutely enlightening, informative, entertaining. And I always tell people when they go from here on out, I didn't go the first time, the second time last year, you got to see that Winston Churchill bunker because it is amazing.
Amazing.
All Absolutely. Right, Steve, thanks for that first-hand report. That will do it for the London report for this portion of the program. We're going to take a break. More of your calls coming up as we continue to dissect the Kawhi Leonard to the Clipper deal that also brings Paul George to Clipper land from OKC for 5 draft picks. A little Yankee Red Sox thrown in. Anything else on your mind? Another 15 minutes or so of Mustard and Johnson show coming up on Sports Radio.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
This thought many, there wasn't any real black voices on the radio.
And the only ones here are you, like in the market for sports talk radio, are you?
Michael Hawley was on the radio a little bit.
And Larry Johnson, who's on Saturdays with Mustard and Johnson.
But, and my voice is even different than theirs because they're from a different type of walk of life than I'm from.
Yeah.
Uber.
And they see things differently. You know, Larry Johnson, isn't he an older gentleman?
Kawhi Leonard.
So he's an older gentleman.
But he's a great guy. I love Larry Johnson.
Howie Leonard.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. That's what I say. Older gentleman.
Kawhi, who gives a dot?
Apparently nobody around here. 617-779-7937. It is Ralphie Boy from Cranston.
Ralphie!
What's going on, Ralph?
Good morning, guys. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm phenomenal. Larry, how are you feeling?
Are you? What's your secret? What's your secret?
Well, I live my life. Anybody who knows me, I'm so intense. Get rid of the radio. So I live my life 1 hour at a time. I don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. I don't worry about the past. I preach it to my son, and I say, just stay in the present. Stay in the present. Stay in the present. I don't think any of us are dying today, so we stay in the present. That's how I live my entire life.
Seize the day. Carpe diem. I love it, Ralph.
But anyway, you know, what bothers me the most about this Celtics, you have no power forward. Now, if you want to consider Cantor an option at center, I mean, he was cut by the worst team in the league. I don't feel too great about having him as my center.
Is he 6'11"?
6'11", yep.
Yeah, now, I mean,
he can crash the boards, though. He's good for about 8 or 9 rebounds a game.
He's only here, though, because they could not afford anybody that they really think is a good center. But either way, the financial flexibility, the Red Sox are in the same position. This team has been mismanaged financially because now you have no way. You need options. There have been some free agents. You don't have anybody to go get them. Now, Philadelphia was able to re-sign Tobias Harris and an amazing signature. I mean, you could... Horford, that's a great addition. And let's be honest, Horford left this team not because of the atmosphere, but because he doesn't want to play center. He doesn't want to be with the Celtics, need him to be, and he's going to fit in perfectly with this Philadelphia team. I mean, Golden State picked up Cauley Stein. Look at what the Clippers were able to do. And this team sits here with no financial flexibility, with so many holes. The only shot they have is they're going to beg all these young guys to God say, you know, make these guys grow up overnight. I mean, it has been completely mismanaged financially.
I don't know if it's mismanaged. Ralph, I could just interrupt for a second. I don't know if mismanage is quite the word. It seemed as if, as I said earlier, we've been saying this for months now, it seemed as if Danny had all his ducks lined up in a row. What happened? That's not mismanagement. Everything that possibly could have gotten wrong did go wrong. But no one thought, and Ralph, I doubt you said 4 or 5 months ago, maybe you did by that time, but certainly going into the last year, did you think that this team was mismanaged by Danny Ainge?
Well, I think he put the wrong guys together, and if you're going to blame anyone, you have to give him some of the... I mean, he should have known a little better with the personalities.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
The funny thing about this, I mean, you have a guy who put the team together, and we all had so much confidence in this club, but I just don't see it. I mean, I if you remember, and I know you like NBA history, Craig.
Yeah.
Auerbach lived and died by Jan Volk. Remember Jan Volk for decades?
Sure.
He ran that team financially.
Well, he was the salary. Auerbach. He was always the salary cap guy.
Yeah. That's why
but he always kept money there that you could improve the team. And I'd love to see him on a show someday and say, look, the Red Sox have done the same thing. The highest payroll history you have there, and they can't even go out and get
You keep saying the Red Sox is a difference. The Red Sox can spend. They don't want to.
Right. But
there's a difference.
Yeah, and I think I know what Ralph is trying to say. Not quite mismanaged.
Man, you got itchy.
But he did
today.
Put together.
You're not a nice man. I don't care what people.
Well,
think.
I'm just trying to cover up for all the hiccups. You set the all-time record in weeks. I know, but every time you come on the air, the hiccups begin. 5 seconds into the show, and you're still doing it. 2 hours later,
it's just a racist.
John, I don't know about Nathan Eovaldi's future as a closer, but yours is firmly ensconced on the Mustard and Johnson show. What's going on, John?
Bless your heart. You both sound tremendous this morning. You guys just kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. Larry, have you admitted a single hiccup since 11 a.m. last week?
No.
And since 9 o'clock this morning, you have.
Is this a different
you
John?
You got to be allergic to Craig. There's no other explanation.
Is your last name Gardner?
No, John from Gardner's voice sounds very different on the radio.
Very high
technical
today.
Issues. Yeah, did you ingest some helium or something before you came on the show?
Let me try to address that there. By the way, what sage caller 3 months ago called it on this mercurial jerk that was better off getting out of town when everybody was still saying, oh, we need this superstar to compete, blah, blah, blah.
Trouble is we couldn't really get that? Anything for him. That's really, you're talking about breaking the bank. That's what happened. You couldn't go out and get anybody else.
So, John, what was your reaction when you found out Kawhi was headed to the Clippers? Good for the Celts? Bad? Indifferent? What did you think?
I thought, for the NBA, it stinks. If we can't count on a few of these guys sticking around where they are, other than in the metropolises of the, you know, L.A. and New York, I mean, what are you going to have? I feel bad for the folks in Toronto. However, it's going to affect the Celtics. I mean, wouldn't you like to see a guy like that stay there? I know he's going to do it good for him. But
right. I wanted him to stay in Toronto because I like to see some stability, and now the team is pretty much gone. I mean, it's going to take a long time before the Raptors. Thanks for the call, John. Before the Raptors get back into business. No, that was completely. It seemed like he just ingested helium before he came on the show.
That did not sound like this.
It did not.
John from Gardner that we used to talk to.
Well, it could have been worse. He could have had the hiccups. That would have been disastrous.
I don't know where they came from.
I have no idea.
I think I'm allergic to you.
It must be because you have been just relentless in your hiccup spewing ever since 9 o'clock.
Tried the cough button, everything I could find.
We're going to take the listeners out of the misery. Relief is on the way. Help is on the way. It's Mark James, Andy Hart, back together again. I can't wait. Thanks to Eamon on the other side of the glass. See you next week at 9. Bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.